Welcome into Inside LAFC podcast as we are into another important week. The Timbers away game behind us, looking forward towards the Red Bulls. We got a great show and we got Stephen Betashore here as well. Beta, good day to you. How are things going? Spring is in the air.
Spring is in the air. I'm doing well. I was watching the Lakers game on the side. Fingers crossed they win. I'm doing well. Obviously watched the LAFC Portland game. Mixed reviews on that one. Obviously, you always want to win, but a tie on the road, not bad. But overall, it's been a good week.
Being a Lakers fan and living in Colorado, what kind of grief do you get from the Nugget groups?
Yeah, a lot of grief. Fortunately for the Nuggets fans, they've got a very good team this year. So I can't give too much stick to them for that. But Lakers, we've had a good team.
My mother, I told her when she doesn't watch basketball, but she lives in Miami, so she likes the Heat. Mm-hmm. And, they made the final. And then she goes, who are we playing? You're going, the Nuggets. And she couldn't, Cuban lady, couldn't grasp the idea that there is a team named the Nuggets. And it was just hilarity ensued.
Yeah.
She still goes, Los Nuggets. ¿Qué significa los Nuggets? So that's not the Nugget. It's the Nuggets.
If the Lakers win, they will be playing the Nuggets. So I might be going to a couple games. Let's just say that.
That's a great series. We'll see what we get. But this is, of course, about LAFC. We have Sergi Palencia, LAFC fullback, going to join us. He enjoys watching basketball, too. We'll talk about the Lakers and how he got his start. And we bridge the gap between the right backs to play for LAFC, beginning with Stephen Betashore and now Sergi Palencia. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But first things first, Beta, LAFC away, Portland. This was I got to call this game. It was very entertaining. We make the point, we talked about it last week. It's an organic rivalry and it felt that way. The locals in Portland were into it. There was a good traveling support group. You have the Maxime Crépeau narrative there, this great video of him arriving and greeting the LAFC traveling support, just adding to, the layers to what is continuing to be a really special matchup. And there were some great players on the field. There's no question about it. We saw that with some of the goals. But we start with getting a point, which, however we look at this game, that alone is an improvement after LAFC were three losses and three games away. So, I mean, as a group, even though they felt they probably should have got a win at the end, a little controversy there, a point has to signify progress.
Yeah, for sure. I think anytime you're the away team and you can get a point on the road, you're pleased. But I think under the circumstances where you went essentially the second half being a man up, I think they're all going to be a little bit disappointed that they only got a point out of that. Obviously, they were pushing to get 3 points. They almost had it at the very end. A couple chances. I think Kamara had one just sliding off his toe, just missed the back post. And then who was the other one? Tillman's chance where, a foul. I think that's what you meant by, controversy.
Yeah, Nathan Ordaz, who
kind of shielding him. And Tillman finishes it, but then they called the foul earlier. So it's a little bit unfortunate not to get the 3 points. But, at the end of the day, you didn't lose. You got a point. And then go on to the next week.
Rubiel Vasquez was the referee. I can't say anything bad about him because he's Cuban, so I got to look out for my guys.
Yes.
But some people bring up the officiating. It wasn't the cleanest game, but, that's a tough call there. And the whole situation with the red card to Maxime Crépeau, I'm not 100% convinced that that was a dogzo.
Yeah.
It benefited. But to your point, I think LAFC will feel a little disappointed. And you saw Steve Cherundolo throw in Kai Kamara and Ordaz and these offensive players to try and make an impression to get that victory. Maybe even the expense of losing the game, which was there was a couple moments there where Evander hit the crossbar and they were coming through. But I love the fact that Steve Cherundolo went for it because 3 points are more valuable than one as opposed to none.
Yeah.
Losing a point or gaining two. Gaining two is better. It's a better way. So I think I like that. But at the end, there wasn't a lot with regards to those chances.
No, I actually really liked the subs that Cherundolo made pretty early. I think it was around the 60th minute. We saw Kamara and Campos come on, and it just changed the dynamic of the game. And if you look how Portland, when they went down to 10, they started sitting back, very compact, very difficult to play through, which is kind of, you know, LAFC's mantra, how they like to play. They like to play in between the lines. There was no space. So what does he do? He puts on a, you know, one of the greatest MLS players as far as aerial duels goes in Kamara, puts him up top, and then gets Campos, a natural left winger. So now you've got Hollingshead and Campos who can stay wider and cross balls in. And you saw it briefly, but this is the thing. I like the sub and I like the idea behind it, but they don't train that way. They like to play the ball on the ground, play between lines. So you didn't see a lot of crosses per se. I would have loved it. In moments like that, I think that's exactly why you have Kai, is when teams sit back like that, put him in and start whipping balls in. And he's going to win 9 out of 10. And, you know, they're more often not going to go in the goal. So
you just nailed why, you know, people are asking, why would you bring in Kai Kamara? You just nailed it there, Beta.
Yeah,
that's exactly why. And that just got me excited because, you know, some people would look at Kai and look, Kai's friends of ours, and he's had a somewhat nomadic career going to a lot of clubs, and it's not going to be a long spell here. He's probably at the end of it, although far be it for me to say that he'll stop playing at 39, because he's still athletically gifted. Yeah. And it has a nose for goal, two things that, you know, you don't have a lot of in many ways in MLS. So you see, I think this, at least as we look at the parameters of the season, this is where Kai Kamara will get playing time. And he's had some playing time in the three games since he's been here. And this one was the most. He almost had half an hour. So I think that's a promising sign as we've talked the big picture situation, building this roster. It's still incomplete. But now maybe Kai Kamara and the return of Campos, who I thought played very well. Yeah. You really could go 14 deep. Maybe you can start thinking, go 16, 17 deep, and we'll see what the summer brings.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree. And again, you didn't see a lot of chances. And it's weird. Portland was in a weird situation where you're down a man, but you're at home. And so they didn't really push as well. And, you know, they needed the three points. What was it, four games? That they were winless, three losses, a draw. So, you know, they wanted the three as well. You can kind of see the nerves on both ends. And at the end of the day, for LAFC, a point is a point. You take it on the road and you move on to, you know, a good team with New York Red Bulls coming up.
Yes, this was a big game for Portland. They needed it. So they're going to be upset. But obviously the red card I think they'll feel okay about what they were able to accomplish down a man.
Yeah.
Spreading out the goal scoring. Last season, LAFC was Bwanga, 20 goals, golden boot. And we wait for that. And I think it's coming. I hope it's coming. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Eduardo Atuesta is getting some goals. Timothy Tillman's getting some goals. Matty Bogish had two goals, including a fantastic free kick. LAFC, I believe, I mean, they're amongst the leaders. And they have five. They have two goals off free kicks, two goals off corner kicks. So they're up there. Mm-hmm. So how do we view this? Where, I mean, it worked when Denny Bwanga was the cash cow, right?
Yeah.
Getting the goal. But I think most people would think if you want to spread it out, and perhaps that benefits Denny in the big picture because they're not focusing on him as much.
Yeah. No, I think so. I think I'm really delighted for Bogush because, you know, as a past player for LAFC, I know how hard the nines work in the system that, you know, we would play and how LAFC plays right now. And they don't necessarily get the credit. And that is for goal scorers. That's scoring goals, right? And at the moment he had one goal, you know, you're in 7-8 games into the season. He's probably a little bit down, but now he gets two goals. And as a number nine, man, that's just going to build his confidence because he works tremendously hard. He's very selfless. He works for his teammates. Bwanga is going to get his goals. Again, we talked about this last week. He's having chances. I mean, what was it? The first few minutes of the game, who was it? Palencia, great crossing, comes in from the back post and just off his toe over the bar like any other time. Last season, I guarantee Bwanga scoring that. And he's getting some chances, which is good. So if other guys can start contributing their goals, you know his are going to start coming, and then it's just going to be a frenzy.
Could you shed some light on that so people get an idea of what the nine is from what you've seen of LAFC? Because, you know, we've heard it from Bob Bradley and Steve Cherundolo and the way they play. The nine is you help on the defensive effort. You help fill gaps in the midfield. Just an idea of those requirements and how demanding it can be.
Yeah, it's very demanding. You have to be selfless. And you can't just sit up there and just think you're going to poach. Obviously, LAFC, for the most part, has a lot of ball, a lot of chances. But a lot of those chances are created from the wingers. It's just that inverted winger always running in. Whether it's on the left side, something's happening, and they're busting their tail to get in the box. But that nine is usually running to the near post to track two defenders. So then who's left free? It's that weak side winger, right? So it goes both ways. The nine is always making these unselfish runs. They're almost a false nine in the buildup, pulling center backs out of position, trying to kind of collect the ball and maintain possession. Meanwhile, the opposing center backs think, do I step to that nine and leave this vacancy behind me for the wingers of LAFC to run through? Or do I just sit back and let that nine get it? So that nine for LAFC does a lot of intricate movements and work that it goes unnoticed. And I know for fans, they just want to see the goals, but they do so much work. It's selfless. I said it. You have to work hard defensively. You're starting the press. Once it goes one side, it all starts with you. And then offensively, you're doing a lot of build out. You're making these runs to open up the goal scoring opportunities for your winger. So I'm glad to see. Obviously, he got the first goal. Unbelievable ball from Tillman. And then he got the free kick goal, the second goal. So two on the day. Great day for him.
We need to get you one of those magnet boards so you can.
I know. I feel like such a coach when I'm like trying to pull the tactics. Yeah, but hey,
We got a little money in the budget. I'll ask Takata if we can maybe squeeze that in for future episodes.
Just right here, right in the back. I'll put something up right here next time. I've got my coach's badge and I got my coach's board, so I might bring it up for you. We'll see.
Coach Beta, I love what you said about that. It takes a certain kind of forward because you want to get your goals, and that's your livelihood. You know that. That's what you get, the contract extensions. But this is a different way to approach it, and so many are finding success, and LAFC has found success in that department, and the wingers have scored the majority of the goals. But we shall see. I do like how it's moving around a bit. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk to Sergi Palencia here in a little bit. We're going to start our preview of the Red Bulls beta. But, you know, we had some synergy here. You were the first right back for LAFC. Sergi Palencia, you know, becoming that next one, although we'll talk to him a little bit. You know, some Ryan Hollings has played some there as well. And in between, we've had some interesting ones. And they're coached by now Steve Cherundolo, arguably the best right back this country's produced. Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be part of a growing community? And you can always say, Beta, I was the first.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It is a growing community, though. And you got, you know, Steve Cherundolo at the helm right now, one of the greatest U.S. soccer right backs ever. So it's pretty cool that he can come in. You have someone like Hollingshead, who also plays right back. Palencia, who I think is probably one of my favorite players, honestly, on LAFC. Just his work rate. He always plays so simple and makes the right decisions, and I love that. But then his tenacity defensively. Oh man, his closing down pace, and he has a bite to him, and I really like that. So he's definitely a good guy, and I enjoy watching him. I enjoy watching Hollingshead. Hollingshead brings a little different part of the game where he's got more of that aerial threat. He's a set piece threat, just dominant in the box. So I enjoy watching him for those reasons. But Palencia, I don't know, kind of reminds me of how I used to play, so I enjoy watching him.
That's high claim. I'm going to ask him about that because there's a little edge to him. That's why we wanted him on the podcast, because he almost scored a goal. That cross was amazing. He's hitting the ball. He's a super nice guy, but he gets it. So are you. But then you have these mean streaks.
Yeah.
And I go, yes.
On the field. Palencia, same way. I've talked to him a couple times off the field. Super nice guy. And then on the field, you just kind of flip a switch and you're just like, I'm fighting.
Sounds like someone I know.
I love it.
A few other names to play the position over the years. And it's interesting because you were a pure right back. Sergi and Hollingshead, although Ryan could go in a couple of positions, so could Sergi. And I'm sure so can you back in your day. But it's interesting because a lot of guys, there was a back three for a little bit in 2020, but these are different guys that have played that. I think Marco Farfan's another one who was kind of the guy there for a bit before the trade for Ryan Hollingshead. Tristan Blackman played some. Eddie Segura played some, Mamadou Fall, and my favorite on the list, because this was a thing back in the day, sometimes when you couldn't go, Latif Blessing.
Yes.
Right back.
Emergency right back. He hated it. But Latif is Latif, right?
Recreate that for me. Bob coming up, Latif. Gotta play right back. He's like,
Latif always has a smile on his face, and he says, "No problem, no problem." But then afterwards, like, why? Why do I have to play right back? And he's just so nice that, like, you can tell he's going to do the job. Whether he does it well or not, he's going to have a smile on his face. He's going to work hard. But, yeah, it was more so with him. It was decision-making of when to step and when to hold. He's just such a go run to the ball. And you saw why it worked so well with us in 18 and 19. With him, Marc-Anthony Kaye, Atuesta in the midfield, they just hunted. They didn't care. It didn't matter if you vacate space because you have people behind you. They just hunted. As an outside back, you got to be a little careful because if you go stepping in the wrong times, ball behind, cross goal, and then you're like, oops, sorry.
I can see it now. He's like Latif going, and you see Bob. Latif!
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He
what
was,
memories.
He was good.
But that's why he didn't like us. He wanted to go. And you know, to be a good right back, you got to gotta know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them.
Yep. You got it.
Let us get into Black and Gold Rewind this week. And we are looking back. So the LAFC Red Bulls play for just the fourth time. It is not a very common matchup, although early on they did meet, including in 2019. And I shouldn't admit this, but this was the first game that I didn't attend because we had a summer. It was in August. We had a summer gathering down in Catalina. I had a great time, but I remember having to exit so I could go to a bar. It was the only place where I could get the game on and I could watch LAFC and the Red Bulls. And it was spectacular. 4-2. Our guy, do you know who opened the scoring account that day?
For us, my boy, Jordan Harvey.
I was going to save this for him, but I said, you know what? We're talking Red Bulls this week, so it's a good way.
Yeah.
But that was Aaron Long, who's now with LAFC, was in the starting 11 for the Red Bulls. He'd played for them a while. I believe he was in the matchup as well. There was a game in 2018, and then they played in 2022. So, which the three LAFC, 19 and 22, were home games they won. But let's go back to 2019. You were in the 11, and then this was a matchup for whatever reason that the league really got behind. I think it was on, Labor Day maybe or something. It was a special. It was the one game everyone was watching.
Yeah, they were obviously doing well on the East. We were, you know, doing well in the West and all in Sporting Shield. But also, you know, it was a big moment for myself, for Jordan, because Tim Parker, who's also the other center back for them, we played together in Vancouver, all the three of us. You know, there was a little bit of smack talking, and a lot of people were saying, hey, Long and Parker, best center back duo in the league. And rightfully so, they had an incredible, you know, few years together. So it was a big game, and I was very, very pleased and excited and happy for Jordan when he scored that first goal. You know, it was, I don't know, he was kind of like, was I on? Was I off after? So he didn't really celebrate it too hard, but then he gave it a good fist pump. And then I got the assist right after that. So it was a good 1-2 punch from the outside backs for LAC that year.
I don't see your assist anywhere. Did it get listed? I'm just kidding. There it is.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. It was a good build out. I don't know. I think it was Atuesta who played me the ball, and then I played it in behind to Latif. Speaking of Latif, and he finished over Robles. So it's good.
I want to talk this. We'll save this for another episode, but and so many famous goals. We rewatched them over and over again, Beta. You're always in the frame.
Yeah.
You're like, you're always close to the play. The Diego Rossi goal, famously. First guy that Beta.
Yeah.
You and Rossi were always kind of close.
So I might not score the goals, but at least I'll be close to celebrate with the guys.
That's a all good quality matters, in my books.
That's all that matters. You're there for your friends.
You had a goal. Was this the game with the goal line clearance as well?
Yeah. And again, I mentioned Tim Parker. It was on a corner, and you know, he got to the near post, and I kind of saw him get free, and you know, just instincts. I kind of dropped into the back post, and thankfully it came right to me, and I headed it out. So it meant a little more because it was against Timmy. You know, anytime you have that rivalry friendship going on that Jordan, myself, and him had, you know, we were talking smack to each other before and after the game, so it was fun stopping a goal for him.
Yeah, Tim Parker's had a great career. I mean, now worked. He's with St. Louis City. He was a best 11, I believe, last year. So a great MLS campaigner, as is Aaron. I mean, Aaron is having a fantastic season, and I know this is going to be a big game for him. But you look at some of the data and the analytics. Aaron Long is doing well, and there are some games where high-profile players, I would say Dejan Jovetic, for instance, don't play that well. And that's kind of because Aaron Long has kind of been part of that with his defensive efforts. So this game started 2-0, goals by Harvey and Latif. Then Christian Caceres and Brian White scored. It was 2-2. Carlos Vela penalty, Eddie Segura the 72nd minute. The back four was you on the right, Jordan on the left, Eddie and Tristan in the central game. So this was, I look forward to this, you know, whether it's NYCFC or the Red Bulls, it's a good game. The Red Bulls are now playing pretty well. I mean, they had a disappointing result this past weekend, but heading into the weekend, they were in first place in the East, got a new coach, looking pretty solid.
Yeah, they look really good. And I know, obviously, if you look at the result from this past weekend for them, 0-0 against Chicago at home, you don't think it's great. But they did have an early red card. Center back Reyes, silly mistake, just almost punches, throws his hands up right in the guy's face on a set piece. Like, what are you doing with this many cameras? You can't. 15, 20 years ago, you get away with that. Nowadays, you can't do anything. But that being said, even with the red card, I know Portland had a red card. With that red card, I think they were still the more dominant team. They were. They had 4, 5, maybe 6 real chances to win that game. So they're a good team. It's going to be tough. They're obviously, I think, tied with Miami in first place on the East. And so it'll be a tough matchup for LAFC.
Yeah. I watched the game last night, and you know, I've watched a few of their games. And their issue is that they're not very deep. But, I mean, that starting 11, a few guys off the bench are very good. Lewis Morgan, fantastic. Just he is a pain in the rear because he scores goals, he gets in positions, and he's pressing. And he's one of, I think, 6 guys with 6 goals leading MLS right now. Van Zier also has been pretty handy, although he had to leave that game because of the red card. They had to bring in another defender. Yeah. And then Forsberg. This is going to be a handful, although LAFC should use their advantage at home. I want to talk about playing that style. I think it's a little different this year under a new coach than it has been. But when you play the Red Bulls, you know, you're like, is there an eye roll? Because you know, it's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to run. What is it? What goes through your mind when you see Red Bulls, and there's a couple other teams that kind of play a similar style, St. Louis and Philly. Yeah. When you see that on the schedule, what do you have in store for you?
It's a little bit different this year with them. In years past, anytime you see them come up, it is an eye roll. It really is. Just like, they don't want the ball. They're just going to kick it direct every time, and they are going to press. So whether I was with Toronto FC, whether I was with LAFC, the trainings leading up to that game were just so hectic, so frantic. Nobody enjoyed it. Like, what is this? It's a fight. It's a battle. Lots of fouls. Just a lot of aerial duels. It's not football. You're not playing. So when you say you're rolling the eyes, yes.
But it's a heavy workload.
Yeah, it is. It's an
uncomfortable game. To their credit, they've got a style, but it's like, it's hard.
But it's a little different now. I want to say that. They've got really talented players now. You mentioned a few of them. You know, even Almeida in the middle, who works his tail off, but a good little crafty player.
Oh, Amaya.
Amaya, I'm sorry. Amaya, crafty little player. And so now that you could see them playing, you know, even Tolkien, their left back, who's getting a lot of praise, like, they can play. And so it's not as kick it to the other team and let's go press them. They're still going to work hard defensively, don't get me wrong. But when they have it, they'll actually play.
You can answer this because I'm going to be calling this game too, so you can help me with my research.
Nice.
So Red Bulls are last in possession in MLS. Okay. LAFC is like 23rd, 24th. So they're kind of down there. So both teams are like, we don't want the ball that much. Yeah. And LAFC is this incredible development because they don't get the ball a lot, but they are lead the league in shots and shots on goals still.
Yeah.
When you have a game like that where you figure both teams may not exactly want possession, is there how do we approach this? So we go, do we sneak in there? Do we just take it? Or we back up further?
I think LAFC's been very good this year at countering. you know, it's a little, we talked about this maybe last week or the week before, that it's not the typical LAFC style that we see, but the chances are there. So going on the road on a good team, Red Bulls, they're, you know, tied in first on the East. I imagine that they'll sit back a little bit more and concede that possession. I don't think LAFC's, or I don't think Red Bull is just going to kick it up if they're at midfield with the ball. You know, I think it's usually when teams are on that mid block or high block where they're like, okay, don't risk anything, send it, and then now let's go press them, or send it behind them, let's get our lines up, and now our line of confrontation is higher up, and then we'll go press together. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a little bit of a chess match, but I, you know, my prediction will be that Red Bulls will have a little bit more possession.
We need you. We definitely need your magnet board now. I mean, you were going.
I'm there. Next time, I'm gonna have it for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a grind. There's no doubt about it. But it's a high profile matchup. Two teams playing well. Two home games in a row here for LAFC. They'll have Portland the following weekend. So you really want to get the most out of this because it's on the road after that. Yeah. Do you get excited? Because I know the league gets excited. I think supporters get excited when you get games with Los Angeles, New York. You know, it's –
yeah.
You have it. He's like, yeah.
I mean, no, you're right, though. I don't want – as a former player, I don't want to say some games are more exciting or – you know, but it is. It's the biggest markets on both sides, East Coast, West Coast, rivalry. And it helps when both teams are good. There have been moments when – you know, maybe not LA, but maybe New York wasn't good, whether it was New York City or Red Bull. And then it doesn't weigh as much. But right now, you know, they're tied in first. LAFC is, you know, in a good spot. They're doing well. So it's definitely going to be a good matchup. I think the league's looking forward to it. And fans always tune into these games.
We never get it. I mean, Dodgers and Yankees haven't played since Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Knicks, Lakers, no.
No.
The Kings, Rangers, I don't think so. I don't watch a lot of hockey, so forgive me if I'm incorrect.
It's all right.
So what do we got? Am I missing sport? Baseball. No. Yeah, no, Dodgers, Yankees, baseball. Basketball, football.
Football.
Football doesn't count.
No, they don't really play each other often anyway.
People are going to get excited for the Chargers and the Jets.
No. I was trying to think. The Giants and the Rams maybe, but – again, how often do these teams play? Not often, right?
No.
Different divisions, different conference. So it's this happened. What you said, the fourth time LA and Red Bull are playing,
and they played New York City FC a couple times along the way. And
so it's almost like every year you're getting one of the New York teams for LAFC. So it's pretty good. It's not a rivalry, but you can feel the tension. So going back to the Portland game, it felt like a playoff game. I don't know if you felt like that when you were watching and announcing it, but there was a lot of fouls, a lot of cards being thrown around, some pushing and shoving. You know, you saw Palencia and Max kind of get into it a little bit. You like that. It has that playoff feel. So I imagine this LAFC Red Bull game is going to have that same feel.
We're just trying to add a little log on there to fire it up a bit. But whatever. I think, as we said here, on its own merits, this is going to be a really good game. Because the Red Bulls are up, LAFC are getting there. It's churning, but I think it's going to hit. Yeah. I think we got pretty well covered there, Beta. We'll get on the magnet board, and we'll put you to work, man.
Moving around, come on,
Steven Beta joining us here on Inside LAFC podcast to give us his insights. We will be back. We go fullback to fullback. Sergi Palencia, who has been making a run of starts here for LAFC, will join us next to talk about being a boyhood Barcelona and Barcelona player, moving on to his life in LA, and being a new dad. A lot of exciting stuff on his plate right now. Inside LAFC podcast, we'll be right back. Welcome back here on Inside LAFC Podcast. We welcome in Sergi Palencia, LAFC fullback. And Sergi, we have to preface this by saying you had a very emotional day. We were going to do this while you were at training, but you wanted to be alone because of the emotions of watching Barcelona in the Champions League. Is that correct?
Correct. Normally we do this after the training, but here, and this was one of the worst things for me to arrive in LA, to arrive and play here, is because we train, we end the training, and we are watching at 12 a.m. We are watching at 12 the Champions League. And for me, Champions League always has been the perfect dinner, maybe a pizza, you know, in the couch. And here I'm watching always Champions League, sweating after the training and doing the gym. I'm watching Champions League. So today I wanted to leave early the facilities and watch the game calm here at home. And it was not a good result.
So maybe a good thing, because if you're at training, you'd be, what's the saying? What's the matter with Sergi? Because in case you weren't aware, Barcelona were up, two goals on the aggregate, and then a red card, and PSG score three, and they make it to the Champions League semifinals. So it was a loss, but it was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a tough one. With the red card, after Barcelona scored the first. Yeah, it was a tough one, but this is Champions League. This is what happens in this kind of games. You cannot make mistakes. They made one, and that's how it works.
I'm not trying to rub it in, Sergi, because I wanted to start our conversation by talking about Barcelona, because that's a big part of who you are. That's where you're from. That's the club you started with and supported. Yeah. But by the way, I also want to say that it's not the right way to watch these games, but I'm used to it. I also, we watch Premier League at 5 a.m.
Yes.
On a Saturday?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. But
us Angelinos were crazy. I'm sorry about this.
No, but you get used to it. Then we can watch the Lakers today at 4 p.m. That's
exactly. Yeah. I know you're big NBA. We got a lot to talk about. But let's start from the beginning in Barcelona. How growing up there and being part of the club and the culture. Mm-hmm. Do you remember just when it first hit you about this was going to, you knew that this, that club and the culture are going to be a huge part of your life?
Honestly, since I have memory, I remember myself supporting Barcelona because my father and my grandfather, they were Barca fans. And my grandfather always went to the stadium every game, and I went a lot there. And yeah, since I have memory, I remember supporting Barcelona. And then, before being there and playing there, I remember supporting Barcelona. And when it arrived, the opportunity to play there was like crazy. Playing in the team that you are supporting is very unusual in our job, and it was a dream come true. And I think you can see the players that feel identified with the club that they are playing with. And I think I always defend my colors the best way I can, but Barcelona was special, always was a plus, an extra. And yeah, I it was very emotional to me every game that I played with that shirt, and it was very special.
Do you remember the day that you were, that your family or you, I imagine it was probably your family, got a phone call saying, we've heard about Sergi and we want to see if he wants to come to Barcelona Academy or whatever it was. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember. I remember that in one game, the coach that I used to have with 10 years old, he sent me, today Barca scouts will be here. We were going to play that same day. And yeah, I scored a beautiful goal with the left foot. I always remember. And I saw the scouts. I saw two guys there watching the game with the jacket, Barcelona jacket, put there. And I said, okay, they are the scouts. For sure, they are the scouts. I scored, they left, and then the next week we received the, it was not my family. Actually, it was the club where I played. They received a fax. Yeah, crazy. They received a fax, and they said that they wanted me to go there and do some trials. And I went. I was training during 2 weeks. Everything went okay. It was the when we passed from football 7 to football 11, you know, and yeah, they signed me there, and it was very special.
Sergi, he's a little bit older than you, but do you remember Ilie and his Barcelona days?
Yeah, I remember. I remember, and he was exactly the same as now. Well, everybody was talking, everybody talked really good about him. He was a very good teammate, very professional. He looked for everybody. He was like a very good guy, very kind guy. And with that leadership that he has here, and that always the he wants always to do the right things for him and for the club and for the team, always putting the team first, you know. It was exactly the same. So, and yeah, it was funny when I saw that he was playing here, and of course before I came I asked him about how is everything here, and he talked very, very good things about LAFC and LA, and that also convinced me to come here. And since my arrival, very grateful with him and everything he did to help me.
I'm not surprised that he hasn't changed. Yeah. Both of you have adapted very well to this club. I mean, better than most, I would imagine. I'm not a Barcelona guy, but I was watching that game, and I wanted them to win because of you and Ilie. So maybe next time. By the way, Xavi is a free agent. Do you think he'd be interested in coming to MLS as a coach?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe you make a phone call.
No, I
don't. Not for LAFC. Maybe another club, so they can help us.
To Miami.
Yeah. No? Yeah. You heard it here first.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. We're starting rumors. That's what we like to do.
Exactly.
So people can talk about our conversations. Yeah. But the Barcelona part of your life, very interesting. And you obviously left that club and played in France and with the same club, Saint-Étienne, which we had at it was Denis Bouanga, and back in Spain before coming to LAFC. We also spoke to Hugo Lloris, and he's from, I guess, Nice is the, or Lyon is the big rival of Saint-Étienne. So
it's
very European right now, Sergi, which is great here at the club. Mm-hmm. Does that make you more comfortable?
I think I'm very comfortable with the American guys and everything, and the Latin guys. So I think we have a very great group, and one of the keys, of course, is the diversity we have and the mixing of cultures, not only as a persons, but as a players. I think we have a little bit of everything, and we can adapt, and we help each other to be better players and better team. I think we have this tactic intelligence that maybe some of European players give us, and then we have this competitiveness of the Latin, and then we have the mixing and the intensity of the Americans. It's very funny to be in that locker room and to knew the stories of everyone, and I'm very happy to be part of it.
So year one, you arrived and you had a good season. You were certainly able to contribute to this club, and 20 appearances overall in MLS. And now you've started, you have a good run of starts here as well. How have you seen your game from year one in LA, which is always going to be difficult coming from Europe and getting adjusted, to year two? It looks like you have added more to your game and you're a lot more confident, but how have you seen it?
No, since the day one, I felt very, very good here, very adapted. Also, when you came in a team that the team works, it is much, much easier for a player. For example, if I go to a team that is one of the last places of the Klassmann, and the team doesn't work very good, or you don't have this stability, it's for me, it's more difficult to perform. But here, since I arrived, Ante, Mark, and Steve, they said me, we want you to do this. We play like this, and this is your goal. You have to do this kind of things, these three, four things. We want you to do this. So it's very easy for me. Like, the ideas were very clear, and I was focused on do that. And that's why I felt very, very good and very adapt since the day one. Then I think my last season was average, normal, but because of when I felt my best moment of the season, or when I started feeling better, well, I had the ankle injury that stopped me a little bit. And then at the end, I think I didn't came back at my level, and it was difficult. But now the second year is always different. You have to make a step forward. I am adapt. I know everyone, and now is my time to do better things. I think I'm doing, or I'm trying, little by little, to grow up here and help the team the best I can.
Trying new things, like that 25-yard shot. Was that against Nashville to hit the crossbar?
Yeah, no. Doesn't hit the crossbar. He
oh, that's right. He made the save. That's right.
Yeah, they made the save, but yeah, trying things, of course. And yeah,
always, you got always. La luz verde, the green light.
Yes. Yeah, right. Ryan saw me there, put me a very interesting ball. That when a ball like this came to you, you have to shoot it. You have to shoot it. Even if I am not a very good shooter, or I don't try a lot to shoot, but when a ball is coming like this, you have to try it always.
How many goals have you scored in your professional career? No goals in MLS yet.
No, I didn't score. I scored one. I scored two in Varsovia. I scored both of them. Yeah, nah. It's one thing that I have to put in my game. I have to
come on, Sergi.
At least one or two per year. Yeah, I have to talk with Mark to let me go maybe one corner, or be in the zones that Timmy is always. That's a compost. There are a lot of goals there in that second post. Yeah, we can talk to Timmy to give us some advice. Yeah, I have to do something like this.
Hey, when you score that goal, you think of us, all right? You're right?
Of course.
And Hollingshead is hogging the goals, even though, I mean, yeah, he's always in those positions. But the fullbacks are very interesting. When I thought what you said about the coaching staff, they gave you kind of an open book. You said, it's like, just do this. And you were like, this is going to make it easier for me. I don't have, too much. So is that kind of the coach's approach since you've been with LAFC?
Yeah, of course. They say, you, we want you to do this, but then you have your talents, you have your way to play, do it. But follow these four instructions that we have, and then they give you like this freedom to do what you are good at. They don't ask you to do things that you are bad, you know? I think it's very interesting. They do it with every player that comes here. We have a really we have a way to play, and everybody knows what to do. Then maybe there are games that are more difficult to do it, or games that the other team is also good and they perform good, but we know how to do it. We know how to make our perfect scenario, and yeah, then your talent. For example, you have to tell Denis some things tactic, but then you have to give him this freedom to do what he's good at, his dribbling. You know, is part of the coach.
That's very interesting, and obviously, you know this, but about Steve Cherundolo plays your position, mm-hmm. or played your position, and was the best, arguably, American right back we've ever had. Do you ever have a nice little conversation with him about playing the position?
Yes, of course. Yeah, he sometimes asks me, how do you do this? I've never been able to do this. I defend this action in that way, or you defend it in the other way. Why? Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Or for example, in the in the throw-ins, you know, maybe he give us some advice. Because sometimes the throw-ins are difficult because you wait, you don't know where to play, and finally you find a teammate. The teammate give the ball back, and you are like closed. Like I said, to try to avoid that, I would play there or faster or slower. You know, he understands the position, also the profile when you are defending some kind of players, or when you are watching that the ball is coming, how to put your body, the profile. Yeah, a lot of talks with him. Yes, very interesting. I think he was fast, so maybe he didn't need to defend as well as, for example, me. I have to do it because maybe he was able to recover more space in less time. And we have different characteristics, but of course the position is the same, and yeah, we are always talking about that.
But he's learned from you too. He said, "Wow, I would have done it that way. Look at that."
Yeah.
Not bad, Sergio. I knew you had it in you. we've known you've really immersed into your life in the United States. You played fantasy football. I know it didn't go so well, correct?
Well, no, I didn't finish last. So
okay, great. It was a success.
For my first year, it was my goal. Now this year, I'm going for all the money. I'm going to the first one. Yeah, of course.
But you're learning about the NFL. You were a big basketball fan, and is the team you support the Lakers?
I always like the Lakers. I don't have a
Gasol. Was it because?
Yeah, because of Gasol, of Kobe Bryant. You know, in Europe was this the team that you always follow more. But I don't have a really team that I support. But yes, being in LA and having Gasol, the remembrance of Gasol, I like. And if I have to pick a team to support, that would be the Lakers. Yes.
Do you have a Lakers jersey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I went to the crypto like 5 times. So I bought a shirt, of course. Yeah. Here, wow. you have to wear a shirt always in the stadiums, of course.
If you say so. Yeah. Do you have a name on the back? Is it a player or is it?
Yeah, you? I have two. I have one of LeBron and one of Shaquille O'Neal.
Brilliant. We're gonna do a little fashion show next time I see you.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I will show you all the shirts that I have.
What is it with Ryan and Omar and yourself? Those are the three fullbacks. So it's three guys in the two positions. How is that? How are those relationships been?
Very, very healthy relationships, very, very good. And like last year with Chiki, I feel like we have a very good a very good group of fullbacks. And this that we are, this is interesting because we are three where we are able to share a lot of minutes. Because if you are two and two, you are always fighting with the with the other one. With, for example, me, I would fight with Ryan to play. It's only one right back plays for two, so it is very difficult to share minutes if the other one is playing okay. And having three, and me and Ryan, we are able to play on the left. I think it's good for the three of us because we can play. We will have our moments during the season, all of three. There are always bad moments, good moments, and we have like Omar and Ryan. They are such a great player. So we will have everyone our moments, and I think it's very good and very healthy for all of us, and we have very very good relationship between us three.
It's been working. Yeah, three is easier to manage than four. Yeah. It continues. And I was going to see Omar get back in there as well and get some minutes against the Timbers.
Yeah. No, Omar has crazy potential. He has this speed with and without the ball. And he's starting to know and to understand how the coaches want from him. And he's starting to adapt his style at what they are asking to him, you know. And he's finding his space and his place here, and he's trying to understand better the movements of Denis or the movements of Edward. And he will be an important player for us, 100%.
Well, Sergi, this was a wonderful conversation. I love it. We cover a lot of gaps, a lot of spaces, and you were great answers. And you took us inside what was happening with the club. One last thing. You're a new papa.
Yes. Amazing.
Baby was born in L.A.?
Yeah, it was born here, yes.
You're connected.
Yeah, connected. Connected, yeah. We always talk with that with my wife that, yeah, this will be always the place where our first daughter was born. So that LA was special for us because it's a great city to be, but because of that will be for always very special. So crazy, the things went very good. We are so happy. We are always looking at her like so in love, and yeah, enjoying every moment, you know, enjoying every age, every month. And yeah, now is one of the best moments because she's starting smiling, she's starting to sleep better, and yeah, we're so happy. Yeah, crazy.
Important for your soccer career.
Yeah,
the baby sleeping. You're getting your sleep. It looks like you're getting your
yeah, yeah, I'm getting. Yeah. No problem with that. No problem.
Well, we're so happy for you and the family, yeah. Sergi, and congratulations. And looks like you're enjoying every moment. And I'm glad that LA has that connection with you and your family as well.
Thank you so much.
Great to chat with you, Sergi.
Thank you.
And suerte for Barcelona
against Madrid this Sunday.
Oh.
So suerte para el domingo. Suerte para el domingo.
Barcelona Real Madrid on the weekend.
We will need that.
It's not 6 a.m., is it?
No, 12.
12, good. All right, yeah, very good.
We can watch it. We can watch it after the 3 points in the pocket, the three Red Bull, New York Red Bull points in the pocket, Saturday, Sunday, we wake up late, we watch El Clásico.
Easy. A nice little lunch, a little siesta. Life's siesta, good.
And then enjoying the evening if you want.
Sergi Palencia joining us here on Inside LAFC Podcast. Thanks for joining us every week. We appreciate you tuning in. Rate, review, download, subscribe. Tell a friend. We also want to thank, of course, the co-host Beta for joining us here. We will see you again next week to recap the Red Bulls, and we'll talk about those Timbers coming into town the following weekend. So long, everybody.